The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good morning. Happy DST Daylight Savings Time, Sunday. Would anyone else have used an extra hour of sleep? But you're here. Wow. Wow, dedication. Yay. So, how many of you were here last time? Okay, a bunch of people. Great. And how many are here for the first time ever? Great, bunch of newcomers. Welcome, welcome, wonderful. And oh, there was another hand up there. Welcome, great. So last time I talked about metta, loving kindness, and Brahma Viharas, heavenly dwellings, practices, and I had just come out the day before from a month of silent meditation and had just gotten a police ticket on the way here, driving. I was late, if you remember, for those of you who were here. So today, no drama in the Dharma. So, whew. But I realized that there was so much that we could have talked about last time about metta and Brahma Viharas. And there was so much that, I mean, the conversation could have continued, obviously, for longer than 20, 45 minutes. But one of the things I realized that was important to bring up and mention is that loving kindness, metta practice, is also a purification practice. Actually, for those who are new and for you for the first time, let me just briefly just touch on what the metta practice is. So metta practice is a practice of cultivating goodwill for yourself, for others, in your life, for all beings. It's just cultivating goodwill. It's a cultivation practice. And it's done using phrases, may you be safe, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may your life flow with ease. So as well as really touching into that sense of goodwill that we have for various beings, ourselves, people in our lives that we care about, and then extending the circle to people who are neutral, and then people who are difficult in our lives, the difficult people, and then to all beings everywhere, including animals and everything that breathes, basically. The metta practice is thought of both as a purity practice and a purification practice. So in the words of Michelle MacDonald, there's a purification-purity cycle that happens in this practice. Now, what does that mean? So the purity, when you're in the state of purity, is when you're actually dwelling in a state of love and care and goodwill for a being. And that really feels wonderful when you're in love, when for example, you're with a child or a dear one. You feel that sense of care and love. It's a sense of purity. It's beautiful. We've all experienced that. Anyone not experienced that? No, absolutely not. We're a human being. It's a part of our nature to be in touch with that sense of care, goodwill, and how that makes us feel. So that's the purity. Okay, what's the purification? The purification is that when one does this practice intensely, the metta practice, stories, memories, the hurts can also come up. Things that you had forgotten, things that you hadn't remembered for a long, long time. And resentment can come up, especially as one extends this or tries to extend it for the difficult people in your lives, which could be difficult. So the purification is when purification part of the cycle of purification is or the purification part of the cycle is when these memories and thoughts and resentments come up, and one works through them, one resolves them, one purifies them. They go away. They're underneath. They're still there, but through this practice they come up and they get resolved. They get purified. So that's the purification part of this practice. Does that make sense? Any questions? If any questions at any point, please raise your hand. It would be interesting if this is a dialogue more than a monologue. So, but I will continue for now. So on that note, compared to vipassana or insight, where one is in the present moment experience and one is really observing what is arising and passing away, metta, loving kindness practice, can become a reflective practice when stories do come up and one works with them and resolves them, and then one goes back to the phrases and sense of loving kindness and the purity. So the Visuddhimagga, which is this 5th century practice manual of Buddhism, offers a lot of ways to work with resentment and anger that may come up, either during this practice or in life in general. And as I was reading the Visuddhimagga while I was practicing last month, I found personally the methods both funny and brilliant, and just I mean, there's poetry in there. So I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to bring that up and share that today. There's a lot of beauty in the practices that are offered. So that's kind of the lay of the land of what we're going to discuss today. And we'll go through some exercises too, so that you can feel into some of these things. And also just to say that these are some ways to work with anger and resentment, and there are a lot of different ways. So you may already have tools in your tool bag. Please use them. And there are many methods also from vipassana, from insight practice, to work with emotions, with difficult emotions. And then what we'll be talking about is another set of tools. So first of all, I invite you to do a guided meditation, a little exercise for us to really feel into this. So close your eyes, get into your meditation posture. Take a few deep breaths into the diaphragm. Just to settle back into the body. Feeling your body. Feeling whatever is arising in this present moment. And just observing what you're feeling right now. What is your mood? Neutral, are you happy, are you bored, anxious, excited, happy, tired, sleepy, whatever it is, just note it simply. Also notice what's happening in your body. What are the sensations? Is there a sense of ease and calm? Is there movement? Is there heat? Is there coldness anywhere in the body? Tightness? Ease? Just notice. Just take a pulse of where you are right now. Okay, now that you've noted it, let's continue with your eyes closed. Now bring to mind something that recently made you really angry, really upset. Allow the story to come up for this. Allow the situation to come up. What happened? What did the other person or people do? What was your reaction? The sense of injustice. The upset. For the sake of this exercise, allow yourself to feel it. Allow the storyline to come up. And now when you feel you have it, that story, that situation of anger, and now check into your body. How is your body feeling now? Is there tightness? Is there heat? Is there anxiety? How are your muscles in your forehead, in your jaw, your back, your stomach? Just checking in. What is your mood now? Just taking a pulse of how recollecting something that happened in the past that brought up anger, how physiologically, emotionally makes you feel. Just checking in. Now let that go. Let the story go. Let all of that go. Let's take another few deep breaths into the abdomen. Settle, come back to the present moment. And now, I invite you to bring to mind someone who makes you happy, someone for whom you feel care and love. Could be a child, a pet, someone in your life, someone with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship and just a sense of goodwill. Perhaps a smile shows up on your face when you think about this person and how you feel about them. Bring them to your mind's eye, what they look like. Try to see them, visualize them. Imagine them right in front of you. Allow yourself to relax and just be with this person in your mind's eye, with their felt sense of this being. Letting your feelings of goodwill and care grow and expand in your body and mind for this person. Thinking about their goodness, what you love about them, how you care about them. Just simply tapping into the sense of goodwill you have for this being. How does your body feel now? Is there ease in the body? Is there warmth? Is there softness? How about the mind? How does the mind feel? Is there warmth, happiness, care, sense of joy, perhaps? Or whatever else is coming up, just notice your state of body, your state of mind right now. And now, see if you can feel into how the state of mind and body compares to what you were feeling either at the beginning when we started or after recollecting the angry episode. How is your body different now? How is your mind different now? So with that little exercise, I invite you to, I invite a few comments, what you observed, what you noticed about the difference between these mind states.
Or I have a comment.
Yeah.
When you said, let go of that angry story, I thought, oh, really? I'll be able to do that quickly. And I surprised myself because I kind of did.
Great.
So.
Great. Nice. Any other observations?
Yeah, I struggle with those kind of exercises because I don't really feel the anger. Normally, if I felt angry about something, I kind of don't like the fact that I was angry, and I really struggle to go back to that. I have a therapist that tries to do the same thing, like go back to that, and my body just doesn't want to, my mind doesn't want to, so I struggle with it.
Great. If that's a place that your mind just doesn't go to, wonderful. Great. No problem. Any comments from people whose minds and bodies do go there? Can go there. Yeah.
Just a brief comment, and that is I realize that I need a reminder when I'm in the midst of the anger and resentment part. I don't so easily flow out of it, but when someone says, okay, let it go, much easier. So I don't know if I need a recording or you have to come home with me or what. But yeah, thank you.
And I also love how it was. You found it easy to do when you had the reminder, which, Martha, is similar to what you said. You didn't think it would be so easy to do, but it was. Great, thank you. I see another hand. Anyone who observed how the body was different after the anger scenario versus the joy scenario? Yeah.
I noticed that my stomach, when I was the angry thought, my stomach was kind of tight and churning, which was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't realize that I felt anger in there.
Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. I was hoping people would mention, as you did, the physiological responses, because the anger activates the parasympathetic nervous system, and the stomach being in knots is one of the ways in which it shows up, the activity of the parasympathetic nervous system shows up. The sympathetic nervous system is the one that calms us, cools us, we feel happy and love and attachment, and the parasympathetic nervous system, it just, everything goes in knots, including the stomach. So great you noticed that. Yeah. Yeah. So with that, basically, what I wanted us to get a taste of is that anger is a state of dukkha, is a state of suffering, is not pleasant. Did anyone find, people who found their way into the anger state, did they find it pleasant? Anyone? Yeah? No? You're joking? Yeah. I'm glad you raised that, because it is also true that there is short-term excitement, there's energy, it's an energetic system that can excite us, but in the long term and overall, it's lech, you know, it's
my body didn't like it.
Yeah, your body, I'm sure, didn't like it. In fact, the stress hormone cortisol is known as public enemy number one, and that's what the body produces. When we're in a state of stress and anger. So just to give you a sense, cortisol interferes with learning, memory, causes lower immune function, bone density, increase in weight gain, blood pressure, cholesterol, heart disease, the list goes on. And also increases the risk for depression, mental illness, lower life expectancy. Wow. Now who wants to be angry now? And that's just the worldly dukkha of our body, the difficulties of the body. And this path is about about ease and not having any suffering. And anger is essentially suffering, both for us, really, in a physiological way, both physically and in our mind, as well as causing suffering and difficulty for others. How many of us have, or is there anyone who hasn't ever said or done anything in a state of anger that they regret? Anyone? we're all in this together. I don't think there's anyone in the room, and if there is one, please raise your hand, myself included. Remembering a case where, ouch, I wish I wasn't angry at that point. I wish there was more space. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't. So with that in mind, with that premise, now I'd like to offer you a few things from the Visuddhimagga. Now that we have that background, okay, we all get angry, right? Let's fess up. Yeah, we all get angry. We all have that, and the resentment. So what are some of the ways that are offered? So the first one is do loving kindness practice for people that you care about, for whom love and kindness flows easily for you, to warm your heart, and then turn it towards a difficult person. So it's like warming the pump, warming the heart, and then turning it towards the difficult person. And part of that, really, the insight in that recommendation is how our moods affect how we see the world. Have you ever gotten out of bed kind of grumpy and everything looks kind of gray, but then you get up in a happy mood and everything looks lovely, it's a gray day and you're singing, oh, what a beautiful morning. So by changing your mood, by changing your heart space to feel love for the person that you care about, and then carrying that into the difficult person, the resentment, the state of resentment or anger that you have, that's one way. That's the first way that's recommended. The second one, which I really appreciated, was anger makes you ugly. Have you ever thought about that? I really appreciated reading this one. Here it is. Now, this angry person is a prey to anger, ruled by anger. Though well-bathed, well-anointed, with hair and beard trimmed, and clothed in white, yet he is ugly, being a prey to anger. It's so true. Anger makes us ugly. I mean, have you considered being around angry people when they're angry or resentful? It's not attractive. And before I read this, I had never considered that that's how I probably look too. I mean, the ugliness is not just in my mind. But it just makes you unattractive. It's just like, ew, bad, like kind of bad energy all around. It's interesting that it's the same way that I wouldn't want to be around someone who's angry and resentful. Probably other people wouldn't want to be around me if I'm angry and resentful. Hence the person who's angry would have no friends, would be in pain, as we already discussed, and also would have here. They'll be reborn in unfortunate and unhappy destinies. So whether or not we believe in the multi-life model and rebirth, whether or not we do that, we can think of taking birth in this life as an angry person, as a resentful person. And when we take birth in this life in a state of resentment, it's like we've taken birth in an unhappy realm. We're living in an unhappy realm. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the third recommendation is that we think about something good about the person that we're feeling resentful about or angry about. Because everyone has something good. There's something good about everyone. Either about their behavior, bodily behavior, or their verbal behavior or mental behavior. So okay, well let's do this together. So close your eyes for a moment. And bring to mind the angry situation that we were just playing with a moment ago, and let's just bring up the person, if there was a person involved. Let's think about that person. So try to bring to mind something about that person that you actually like or admire. Something good about them.
perhaps they have good intentions, even if they behave badly or speak harshly. Or perhaps their action is controlled. They don't do difficult, they control their behavior even if they don't control their speech and mental acts. So look for something good about them, something that they're trying to do, something that they're good about. Something you like, something you admire. And realizing that they too are someone who wants to be happy in this world. And if you can't come up with anything about this being, perhaps you can tap into their difficulty, their state of their own state of pain from which their behavior arises. And seeing that can usually be a cause for compassion. So I invite you to open your eyes now. So when I was working with my difficult person, one thing that worked best for me was really working with compassion, seeing that the difficulty, the activity, the harm that was coming from this person was because of their own hurt. Was really seeing how they're hurt, how the difficulties in their lives that is causing them to act in the ways they do. Were there other people who could see that about people they were angry at or upset or resentful at? Yeah, some hands. So that's one way. So another recommendation is to contemplate but to think about people who actually have who have managed not to have anger, to have overcome anger in their life. So there are examples of life of the Buddha in the Jataka tales as he was reincarnated, reborn in different shapes of animals and was hurt in many ways, but anger never arose. I also found a beautiful example in a speech from Martin Luther King that I would love to share with you. To our most bitter opponents, we say, we shall match your capacity to inflict suffering by our capacity to endure suffering. We shall meet your physical force with soul force. Do to us what you will, and we shall continue to love you. We cannot in all good conscience obey your unjust laws, because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. Throw us in jail, and we shall still love you. Bomb our homes and threaten our children, and we shall still love you. Send your hooded perpetrators of violence into our community at the midnight hour and beat us and leave us half dead, and we shall still love you. But be assured that we will wear you down by our capacity to suffer. One day we shall win freedom, but not only for ourselves. We shall so appeal to your heart and conscience that we shall win you in the process, and our victory will be a double victory. So remembering that example, we shall still love you. The times when resentment and anger come up, it can be done, it is done, it has been done.
there's another beautiful story of the His Holiness the Dalai Lama a few years ago greeting an elderly monk who arrived in India after fleeing from prison in Tibet. And meeting with the Dalai Lama, he recounted years that he had been imprisoned, the hardship, the beatings he had endured, the hunger, the loneliness that he had lived with, and the torture he had faced. At one point, the Dalai Lama asks him, "Was there ever a time you felt your life was truly in danger?" And the monk answered, "In truth, the only time I felt at risk was when I felt in danger of losing my compassion for my jailers." So it can be done. And I love something that I heard recently, which is to set our standards very high and our expectations low of ourselves. To know that it can be done, not to have resentment or anger towards anyone. And yet, when it does arise, to realize that we're human beings and it arises for all of us. That's why it's a practice. That's why it's a training. Not to beat ourselves up, and to know that there are ways that we can work through it, work around it. There are lots of different practices for it. I'd like to share a couple of other things from the Visuddhimagga. There is actually a beautiful reflection poem that I want to share with you. Suppose an enemy has hurt you now in what is his domain. Why try yourself as well to hurt your mind? That is not his domain. Isn't that beautiful? The hurt has happened, is gone. And now, by being angry or resentful, we're hurting the domain that is ours. It's not his domain anymore. In tears, you left your family. This is for bhikkhus, for monks who've left. They had been kind and helpful too, so why not leave your enemy, the anger that brings harm to you? This resonates with the comments that you gave, that how easy it was to leave the anger when you realize, oh, you can leave the anger. This anger that you entertain is gnawing at the very roots of all the virtues that you guard. Who is there such a fool as you? I love that one too. All the virtues that you're trying to guard, it gnaws at the very roots of all the virtues that you try to guard. Another does ignoble deeds, so you're angry. How is this? Do you then want to copy too the sort of acts that he commits? So basically we become like the angry person or the difficult person. When we are caught in that anger, we start to do the kind of deeds that they do, that we resent their deeds, and by anger we start to do them, we become them. Suppose another, to annoy, provokes you with some odious act. Why suffer anger to spring up and do as he would have you do? Basically, you acting poorly is what your difficult person, or in the text, your enemy would want you to do. So you're essentially doing what they would want you to do by acting poorly. If you get angry, then maybe you make him suffer. Maybe not. Though with the hurt that anger brings, you certainly are punished now. So when you get angry, you may or may not hurt the other person, but you're certainly hurting yourself. There's no question about that. Think about your cortisol levels, if nothing else. If anger-blinded enemies set out to tread the path of woe, do you, by getting angry too, intend to follow heel to toe? If hurt is done you by a foe because of anger on your part, then put your anger down, for why should you be harassed groundlessly? Since this is a good one. Since states last but a moment's time,
those aggregates by which was done, the odious act, have ceased. So now, what is it you are angry with? So, the act is done. Whatever happened, happened in the past. Whatever act happened. And now, basically, whatever we recreate in our mind is not happening anymore. It's something that happened in the past. We are recreating a situation that's not there. It's not happening anymore. We're not having the interaction. We're just creating in our mind. So it's something that is past. And here's the last part of the poem. Whom shall he hurt who seeks to hurt another in the other's absence? Your presence is the cause of hurt. Why are you angry then with him? So the last thing I'd like to say is I like the last suggestion in the list of 10, many of which I skipped, was receive or give a gift to the person that you're angry with. And that is a way to overcome the resentment and the anger. And I thought that is brilliant also. It's so practical and it's so true. Because by either giving or receiving a gift, I mean, receiving a gift might be difficult, but giving a gift to a person, it opens the heart. It's a path to generosity. And it just changes and turns things. So as a last resort, try that. So I want to invite you to reflect for a moment. Close your eyes and reflect for a moment, if you will, in the couple minutes that's left, about one thing that in your reflection today you found interesting and valuable and you like to take with you through the week. Maybe share it with someone else. Maybe something you like to act on or keep with you. And when you have that, if you open your eyes, and if you'd like to share anything, because I have as much to share as all of you, it's collective wisdom. So,
I work as a massage therapist at an assisted living center, and I work on retired Catholic priests, believe it or not, and there is a cook there that I love, a Filipino cook named Jesse. And one of the priests told me that his son had been knifed to death 2 weeks ago on a San Jose street. And I just turned around a couple of times and experienced my anger about that incident. And I went up to Jesse after dinner, and he was his usual loving, smiling self. And he asked me if I could give him a massage at his home, which told me something. And I said, I heard about your son, Jesse. And he said, oh, you know, don't worry about it. And that blew me away. It sounded like he was a Buddhist. And he was trying to ease my anger. And he wasn't looking angry to me. And he had every right in the world to, you know, be spending a lot of time getting over the loss of his son in that way. So I think that I learned something from him.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Any other thoughts?
Hi, my name is, Mehrdad Nayabi. I've been coming here for a few years, and it's been a wonderful experience, especially listening to you as well. It's your beautiful inside and out and everything that you've taught us, especially with Mehta. I have a special request from everyone here. I have a dear friend who is my sister in spirit. He is a family member. She's a family member. This is the first time, and that's my aunt over there. Her mom has diagnosed with a very severe cancer, malignant cancer. And if any of you guys could extend your love and kindness and your prayers and your thought, I would deeply appreciate it very, very much. Thank you so much.
So on that note, let us close our day with wishing ease and happiness and well-being for everyone in this room and for all beings everywhere. May they be safe. May they be happy. And may they be free from suffering. Thank you for your kind attention.